I brought something into the studio with me this morning. Now, what this is from 1962. So this is 58 years old, Bishop Scharfenberger. And here is, and I'll put a picture on our Morning Air Facebook page and tweet this out. It is a little statue of the Holy Family on top of what is a container. Inside the container, rosary beads, but not any rosary beads. These rosary beads, Bishop Scharfenberger, glow in the dark. And when you're seven years old in the third grade, and you can sell Christmas stamps to get a glow-in-the-dark rosary, God bless every one of my relatives who bought all of those Christmas stamps that they absolutely didn't need so I could get the glow-in-the-dark rosary, which was on my mom's nightstand for the last, for up until the moment she went into eternal life. So this, the glow-in-the-dark rosary.
Well, that brings back memories to me, too. I remember when I was in grammar school, that there was a practice, and I think during the month of October, that every student got to take home. It wasn't the statue of the Holy Family. That's an interesting insight here, but it was a statue of Mary, actually, but it also had on the base upon which she stood, again, that little container with roses in it. I don't remember whether they glowed in the dark, but when we brought it home with a commission that we were supposed to bring it to our families and make sure that our families said the rosary together somehow that night. And then we brought it back the next day, and another student would get the Rosary Mary, I guess you would call it. But I find it intriguing that the statue you have has the Holy Family on it. Because, we were saying a few moments ago, Father Payton's reminder to us that the family that prays together stays together. There's a reason for that, particularly if we take advantage of what the power of the rosary is, we're talking, because the rosary connects us with not only Mary, but the whole Holy Family. Because she always maintains that relationship. Mary is the one that always makes Jesus present in the world, his undying birth. And whenever we pray to Mary, we're always praying through her heart right to the heart of Jesus. And of course, Joseph is the protector and the unity of the Holy Family. It was Joseph that brought that family together, Mary and Jesus. We know how crucial he was for the survival of that family, particularly the early days, of Jesus's life, the flight into Egypt, the persecutions, and he remains, as we know, the father of the universal church, which is, again, a Marian symbol, because the church's role is to bring Christ's presence always into the world, modeled after Mary. And we have St. Joseph's protection. So all of these images come together when we pray the rosary, because we can think of them as a way, the rosary, as a way of uniting us with the Holy Family, and it helps to unite our families in our common mission to make Jesus present in the world.
Bishop Scharfenberger, we still know to this day the joy that earning something fun as a young person for John made a difference in getting young people interested in the rosary and praying it with the family, praying it at their Catholic schools and the like. Do we need to, do some of those things to make it fun and interesting and be patient as well, knowing, that little four-year-old isn't maybe going to sit through all the decades with us?
Yeah, it does make sense. And sometimes it may mean we have to be a little bit creative. So, for example, maybe some of the rosaries, there's different types of rosaries. I know a lady that a friend of mine, his wife who died a few years ago, he was going through her, some of her old things. And she was a convert, actually. She had been a member of the Church of the Assembly of God. But then when she became a Catholic, she became very devoted to the rosary. At any rate, he came across a pile of rosaries. He said, "Would you like 70 rosaries? I could give you at least one." She had a huge pile. But what was interesting, they came in different shapes and sizes, Some of them were little tiny ones. Some of them were huge. And, maybe if we're going to involve our kids, thinking of getting a very, very large rosary, or even making one. You know, I mean, I've seen rosaries made out of coffee beans. I suppose you could make them out of coconuts, too, if you wanted to. But, you know, the original, the German word for rosary, you know, is Rosenkranz, which means a crown of roses. So I've seen, you know, people make rosaries even out of flowers, out of roses. So, you know, it might you could get very creative. You can make your own rosary. You know, however large or small it is, but, you know, it's like making Advent wreaths. You know, it's something that you can involve the creativity of young people, which is, you know, boundless, their creativity, and let everybody hold it. I think it's important to, you know, you don't have to have a rosary. You can say it on your fingers. My grandfather used to do that every night before he went to bed. We got 10, you know, most of us had 10 fingers or parts of them. Sometimes they function better than others as we get older. But really, it's good thing that it's good to have something in our hands, you know. And maybe that's another way to do it too. Make sure that each of our children, if we're praying it together, has one that they can kind of call their own, and so they can feel a part of the family rosary.
In this month of October, a month dedicated to the Holy Rosary, we're talking about the power of the Rosary in your life. Our conversation this morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, who is the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York. And we want to share your stories. Perhaps you pray with Father Rocky and Karen Moran every night at 7 o'clock Central, the Family Rosary across America, and you have seen great blessings in your life in praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky. And maybe you've made your own rosary. Do you pray together as a family? The power of the rosary in your family. I'd like to hear your stories this morning on the Charity Mobile studio line at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. The power of the rosary in your life. With this glow-in-the-dark rosary in 1962, Bishop Scharfenberger, we started praying the rosary, or I got mom and dad to pray the rosary. Yeah, they would pray the rosary, mm-hmm. but we did it together as a family. And the indelible image in my mind is in the little two-bedroom Cape Cod where they started their lives. There mm-hmm. we were, the three yeah. of us, kneeling by the side of their bed in one of the yeah. two bedrooms, praying that rosary yeah. At night. Wow. And it was like, I can visualize it as if I did it 5 minutes ago.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, it's amazing how connected it still is, you see. So your remembrance of the rosary is very much connected to the reality of your family life. And I'm sure when you think about it, that brings back memories also of your family. It's my memory that comes back to me is we had a little niche in the house. It was a little hall after you entered. It was a hallway. And then after you went into our, was two-family house. And when you entered into our apartment area, right on the left, there was a little niche area. And my mother always had a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the top niche. There were like three portions to it. And maybe the waffle iron might have been in the second niche. But at the top one was Mary and a little vigil light in there. But that's where we used to gather when we said the family rosary. And even as you bring this up now, and as I think about it, it brings back my memories of my family in Ridgewood, New York, you know, saying it around that altar. But, you know, it's interesting that historically, you know, the origin of the rosaries goes way, way back. And, you know, the missionary communities in the desert, you know, of Egypt back in the 3rd and 4th century, they used to have this practice whereby they would take a rope and tie a little knot in the rope. And every time they said the Jesus prayer, you know, Lord Jesus, I trust in you, they would tie a knot in that, you know, so keep count of their prayers, you know, saying the Jesus prayer. And you know, as time went on after the 4th century, the Council of Ephesus, which defined the role of Mary, you know, as the bearer of God, the mother of God, that Marian devotion continued throughout the centuries. And somehow or other, the practice of counting the prayers seems to have come together. Saint Dominic, as you know, is said to have received a vision, a Marian apparition, goes back to 1214. And his community, the Dominicans, are particularly noted for promoting Marian devotion through the Our Lady of the Rosary, through that memorial, which we celebrate on October the 7th, the memorial of Our Lady of the Rosary. So it's wonderful, all of the inspiring ways in which the Rosary empowers us to think of our connection to the Holy Family, to Mary in particular, and to Jesus through her heart, and how that really is a source of unity that can connect us together. Father Payton was right. The family that prays together stays. It's impossible to sin and pray at the same time. You think about it.
Bishop Scharfenberger, as a convert, as an adult, is when I first got to learn the Rosary and was impressed with how filled with Scripture it is. Because of that, is the Rosary maybe underused as a tool for evangelism?
Oh my! Is that ever so? Is that ever true? You're absolutely. You know, every single mystery of the Rosary is an opportunity for scriptural meditation. And in fact, there are many good resources online. I'm sure you can find them also in Catholic bookstores, but that have every mystery of the Rosary can be associated with the scriptural passage as seen. Like today, for example, it's Thursday. So today we pray on the luminous mysteries of the Rosary, right? That Pope St. John Paul II introduced, that fourth cycle of the mysteries. And of course, the first one is the baptism of Jesus. And we know that there are accounts in the scriptures, very interesting ones, of the baptism of Jesus, coming up there in the scene as John was doing his baptism. And at any rate, every single mystery of the Rosary that we pray, we can certainly refer to a scriptural passage, maybe even read that passage or a portion from it, before we actually, the second mystery, the wedding at Cana, from John's Gospel there, Jesus' first miracle. It would make sense, if we're taking a little time to pray the Rosary, to read the scripture with which that mystery is associated. And because it's, I've heard it said times before, I don't know who said it first, but when we pray the Rosary, to concentrate more on the image rather than even the words themselves. The words will come naturally, and that's one of the values of having a group recitation, because even if you forget a word or two, the group will keep saying it, and that gives you an opportunity to do some meditating. So even as the kind of the mantra, if you will, of reciting the rhythm of the prayers, the Hail Marys, that our minds can focus on the mystery that we're praying on, whatever it may happen to be, whether it's the sorrowful mysteries or the joyful mysteries or the glorious mysteries or the luminous mysteries.